Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema Q1 2021 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Miss Ilaria Bennati, CFO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon to everybody. It's only me and Carlo today on the call, as Gianluca is not feeling well. He apologized, but he's not able to attend the call. Carlo and I will take you through the first quarter results in the call. As usual, you can follow the presentation using the material that has been made available before this call. We start from slide two with the first quarter results at a glance. From a broader macroeconomic standpoint, the first quarter of the year has continued to be affected by the ongoing COVID-19 situation. In this context, the bank's business model has continued to prove its resilience, registering a solid commercial performance in all three business lines. Factoring turnover was indeed up 12% year-on-year, reaching 783 million. Excluding tax receivables, the turnover would have registered a year-on-year increase of 20%. In the secured space, the outstanding is higher year-on-year, thanks to the strong origination activity carried out in the last 12 months, while the first quarter volumes were a bit below expectations. Pawn loans reached 80 million in terms of outstanding, registering a 3% quarter-on-quarter increase. The growth vis-à-vis last year, as you know, is not meaningful due to a different perimeter. Building up on the positive outcome reached in 2020 in the semi-state guaranteed loan space, we have continued this year to develop this business, and the stock of loans reached 118 million at the end of Q1. A few highlights now on the financial results before going into more details further down in the presentation. Net income is equal to 19.3 million, representing a 21% increase versus last year, also supported by pawn loans and the semi loans, and by lower interest expenses. Funding cost is lower year-on-year at 0.5%. Total income is equal to 26 million, with an 18% increase. Recurring cost of risk is equal to 37 basis points. Loan loss provisions are up year-on-year at 4.1 million due to a one-off provisioning of 2.4 million related to a position versus a municipality in conservatorship. Total operating cost year-on-year increase is mainly due to the consolidation of the pawn loans business unit acquired in Q3 last year, and to a lesser extent, also to higher IT expenses, servicing costs, and the contribution to the Single Resolution Fund. Net income is equal to 4.5 million, and I would say substantially in line with last year results. CET1 ratio sets at 12.2%. We now move on to slide three. The strong performance of the factoring turnover was driven by commercial receivables, which were up by 21% versus last year. As you can see, factoring outstanding trend shows a slight decrease year-on-year, mainly due to a weaker than expected origination of tax receivables during 2020 and also during the first quarter. Tax receivables, as you know, have a higher duration, and therefore they affect the outstanding in one way or another. The outlook for fiscal credits origination, however, is much brighter for the continuation of the year, and indeed, we have witnessed a trend reversal starting from March. If we move on now to the next slide, we make a couple of comments on secured and pawn loans. Slide four. In the secured space, we have registered a better performance than last year in the direct origination channel, with 12 million turnover originating through assets with respect to the 8 million in Q1 last year. The indirect business has performed below expectations in the quarter due to higher competition on prices, which made not appealing to buy certain portfolios. Thanks to an organic growth, Pronto Pegno has generated 37 million of loans, including renewals, which allowed the outstanding to grow 3% versus year-end. In the quarter, the business line carried out 13 auctions compared to only two auctions in Q1 last year. The auctions activity has increased also thanks to the consolidation of Intesa Sanpaolo, while the small number for 2020 was also due to the COVID restrictions prevailing at the time. Now, from slide five, we start to cover the financials in more details. As usual, I'll first comment the balance sheet. As shown in the table on page five, total assets are down 6% quarter on quarter, and in particular, loans at amortized cost is now 2.6 billion and is down quarter on quarter, mainly due to factoring. CQ loans are down 2% quarter on quarter, while pawn loans are up 3% quarter on quarter. As mentioned before, since the second quarter last year, we have resumed the SME lending business backed by the state guarantee, following the initiative of the government to support the economy and the SMEs impacted by the COVID-19. The outstanding is significantly up quarter on quarter, as you can see from the table. Govies portfolio, now equal to 700 million, is down on the quarter with an average duration of 28 months. This amount also includes almost 100 million held to collect and sell, which is up quarter on quarter and which has an average duration of 25 months. On the liability side, due to banks' quarter on quarter decrease is driven by interbanking, while ECB funding is up on the quarter. Due to customers' decrease is mainly driven by the decrease in repo as a consequence of the Govi portfolio reduction and to a lesser extent to the reduction in term deposits and current accounts. Debt securities increase is due to higher funding through ABS. We now move on to the next page to discuss P&L. By way of an introduction, the main factor driving the comparison between Q1 21 and Q1 20 is the contribution of the pawn loan business since the first quarter. We start analyzing interest income. Q1 interest income is up 8% due to higher contribution of pawn loans and the semi-state guaranteed loan portfolio. Factoring now represents 64% of total interest income, which is slightly less than its relative contribution in the financial year 2020, but is stable in absolute terms year on year. Higher LPI contribution has compensated the lower contribution from tax receivables. Going more into details of the LPI, we've registered a stronger contribution of LPI from legal action, 6.6 million compared to the 3.4 million last year. LPI registered a good performance in both accrual and extra collection components. In particular, the latter has registered a record quarter even without any sale of LPI. A more detailed information on LPI has now been moved to the appendix, and you can refer to that for a comparison over time. The contribution of the CQ business line has been slightly down quarter on quarter due to a larger than expected impact of early loan repayments. Lower interest income in the quarter has been reflected on adjusted income margin reduction year on year. Since the past quarter, we started to see a significant contribution to income generation by the pawnbroking business, also thanks to the acquisition. The contribution to total interest income of the business line has indeed been 1.3 million versus 200K in Q1 last year, with a higher adjusted income margin versus 2020. The margin has indeed now reached 15.2%, which is by far the highest among our three business lines. Total adjusted income margin, as you can see from the bottom table, was slightly higher quarter on quarter driven by factoring and pawn loans. Now we move on to total income on slide 7. Total income was up 18% year on year driven by the increase in net interest income. Indeed, net interest income increased by 21% as a combination of an 8% increase in interest income and a 23% decrease in interest expenses. Total cost of funding is now equal to 0.5% and is lower both year-on-year and versus year-end in both the retail and the wholesale component. Net commissions are down year-on-year due to a lower factoring commissions that have not been fully compensated by higher contribution from pawn loan commissions, which indeed increased from 200K in Q1 last year to 1.2 million this year. Other income includes 2.4 million from the sale of the Govies portfolio. Now, in the pie chart at the bottom of the slide, we present, in line with the presentations for the financial year 2020 in the strategic plan, the breakdown of the total income contribution of the three business divisions. The factoring business, as you can see from the pie chart, continues to represent the lion's share, although its relative weight has decreased with respect to year-end in favor of pawn loans, in line with what has been envisaged in the strategic plan. The CQ contribution to total income is pretty much unchanged with respect to year-end. We now move on to slide 8 to discuss cost. As for the top line, the main driver of the year-on-year cost increase has been the integration of the pawn loans business unit. Personal expenses are up year-on-year due to a higher number of TEs following the acquisition. In addition to the pawn loans cost increase, administrative expenses are also higher due to higher IT expenses, higher servicing costs, and higher contribution to the Single Resolution Fund for a total amount this year of 1.7 million. D&A is also up due to the rental cost of the pawn loan branches. We now move on to the next slide to discuss funding. I'll go very quickly through this section as there isn't any relevant change since previous quarter's updates. As I mentioned before, cost of funding is lower year-on-year and also quarter-on-quarter. Funding mix keeps on being balanced between wholesale and retail. The wholesale component is now 40% and is down quarter-on-quarter due to the reduction of the repos and to lower contribution of interbanking funding. ECB funding is up by 50 million thanks to a further borrowing under the TLTRO III allowance, which is now 540 million and which is totally drawn. Still, on the wholesale component, we have increased the EBS funding backed by CQ assets. Retail funding is down quarter on quarter due to the reduction of interest rates offered to customers since the beginning of the year for both term deposits and current accounts. We now turn to slide 10 to discuss asset quality. As you can see from the top left table, gross non-performing exposures is up quarter on quarter due to past due increase relating to factoring, driven by the introduction from the 1st of January of the new definition of default. The increase of past due is in line with the indication we provided in the most recent conference calls during the year. Clearly, the growth in past due, given the nature of our factoring business, which is for most part exposure towards public administration, does not represent a sign of deterioration in terms of creditworthiness of the obligors, not a deterioration in the probability of recovery. As a consequence of the increase in past due, the NPE ratio went up to 11.9% compared to the 9.5% at year-end. Now, in occasion of this results update, we've decided to add more granularity to the description of our factoring non-performing exposures, which is in large part represented by exposures to municipalities in conservatorship that are classified as bad loans or UTPs. As described in the bottom left table, such exposure amounts to 125 million in total and has slightly gone up in the last 6 months. In the bar to the right, we represent the amount of LPIs related to credit exposures in conservatorship. At the end of Q1, such LPIs amounted to 59 million, and as we stated many times, they are off balance sheet as not eligible to be considered within the accrual perimeter according to our accounting policy. Loan loss provisions in Q1 are equal to 4.1 million and are up year-on-year due to the 2.4 one-off provisions related to invoices that are part of the conservatorship procedure of a municipality. This provision is a consequence of the one-off decision to accept a transaction on some invoices within the conservatorship perimeter. The decision is driven by the fact that, on one hand, the exposure towards this municipality is the largest we have, and therefore it also carries a significant amount of LPIs that have already been accrued and will continue to accrue in the future, so it makes sense to anticipate part of the collection. And also, on the other hand, the Commission entity has recognized on this exposure our claim on the accrued LPI, which will then be paid when we finalize the transaction in the following months. So as such, the haircut suffered on the capital, which has driven the provisions, will be in large part compensated by the early collection of LPI, which are currently, as you know, off balance sheet. Q1 2020 cost of credit risk, considering the above-mentioned provisions as non-recurring, stands at 37 basis points, down from year-end. Finally, I cover capital ratios on slide 11. Regulatory CET1 ratio and TCR ratios are confirmed well above our minimum requirements. They set at 12.2% and 15.6% respectively. They are slightly lower compared to 2020 year-end due to an RWA increase given by the increase in past due as a consequence of the adoption of the new definition of default. The impact of the new DoD has been therefore confirmed within the range stated in previous calls. As we mentioned in many occasions, capital ratios do not include the dividends on the profits related to 2019 and to 2020 that have been approved by the shareholders' meetings but not yet distributed. In line with the past, regulatory capital as at 31st of March does not include 25% of the profit recorded in the period. I'm now done with the presentation, and so Carlo and myself are happy to take your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Manuela Meroni with Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. I have four questions. The first one is on the new definition of default. I'm wondering if you can tell us what has been the impact of the new definition of default on your capital base on one side and on the stock of non-performing exposures. I'm wondering also if it had also an impact on the loan loss provisions of this quarter or not. And if there are still negotiation discussions, so if there could be some changes in the future on the new definition of default that we may expect. The second question is on the loan growth. Loan growth in this quarter has been quite weak, while your business plan is targeting a double-digit compound annual growth rate in your business plan. So I'm wondering if this slow start was already expected in your business plan targets and what we can expect in terms of loan growth of the three main divisions for the full year. The third question is about the municipality and conservatorship. I'm wondering if we can expect some sort of positive one-off on when the collection of LPI will start or when there will be an end of the process, or we are not going to see anything about that. And the last question is on the portfolio classified at amortized cost. You have reduced this portfolio. This is a new strategy or is it just an opportunistic move? Thank you.
Thank you, Manuela. So I will start by taking the first question, and if I'm missing out something, Carlo will step in and cover the rest. So on the new definition of default, the impact on the capital ratio was slightly above the 70 basis point, which we had indicated as our top end of the range. That's why we said that the impact has been in line with what previously estimated. In terms of increase in NP, the impact has been quantified in an increase of 60 million of past due. In terms of developments on the new definition of default, we do not expect this impact to go any higher. If anything, there might be mitigations that we would be able to apply that could make this amount to decrease in the next future. So on the second question regarding the decrease in the outstanding, this is pretty much due, regarding the factoring, this is pretty much due to lower origination of fiscal receivables, as I was, commenting during the presentation. The lower origination of fiscal receivables characterized the second part of last year and continue to characterize the first quarter of the year. And because fiscal receivables have a higher duration, they affect the outstanding in one way or another. However, as I was describing, sorry, the reason behind the lower origination of tax receivables is due to the fact that corporates had originated lower turnover due to the ongoing COVID-19 situation, and therefore the fiscal credits were lower than they used to be in previous years. As I was commenting, we believe it has stopped towards the end of the first quarter. Indeed, since March, we started to see a solid recovery of the fiscal credit originations that we would be able to confirm at the end of the second quarter. It's still progressing. At this point in time, we believe we are in a position to confirm the forecast we have outlined in the business plan presentation regarding pretty much everything, and also in particular the amount, the growth of the outstanding, as you were asking. The first question was related to Catania. The positions that we discussed earlier on during the comments, the rationale behind the transaction, as we mentioned, is the fact that this represents our largest exposure, and due to the amount of the exposure, the position also carries a significant and interesting amount in terms of LPI accrued. So it really makes sense for us to exploit the opportunity to accept the transaction with the commission entity, also in consideration of the fact that our claim on the LPI, on the accrued LPI, has been accepted, and therefore when we finalize the transaction, we will be able to collect not only the capital, which is on balance sheet, but also the LPI, the portion of LPI that are currently off balance sheet. Therefore, the provisions that have been accounted for in Q1 will be in large part or almost entirely compensated by the collection of LPI, which will represent a windfall gain given to the fact that they are off balance sheet at the moment. So the answer to your question is yes. Clearly, we cannot commit on the timing because we don't fully control the timing, but these compensation effect will definitely occur. Carlo, would you like to take the fourth question?
I mean, the strategy on Govies has not changed.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Now, yes.
The introduction of the definition of default and the consequent increase of the past due stock has not influenced the loan loss provision in Q1.
Thank you.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
I thank you for taking my question. The first one is again on the one-off provision done in the first quarter. Can you again maybe explain a little bit better the phasing? So you posted the provision in this quarter, and you are going to get some LPI off balance sheet through the P&L, and we don't know yet when. Do you expect by the end of the year? something similar at around 2.4 million euro, and the decision to make this kind of settlement, can you explain a little bit why you decided to do that? Because the amount was too high, or so if you can elaborate a little bit. The second question is on operating costs up in the quarter for Pronto Pegno. If you can give us a guidance for the full year in terms of operating costs. And then margins on CQ, we saw the adjusted margin at 2.3%. If I'm not mistaken, the business plan you set a margin in the area of 3.1. So if you can give us an idea of when how is going to be the evolution of the margins on this division. Thank you.
Okay, I'll start by taking, thank you, first of all, thank you, Christian, for your questions. I'll start by taking the first question regarding the one-off transaction on the exposure towards the municipality in conservatorship. You know, the rationale is quite simple. And first of all, as we said, it's a one-off decision. Our you know, main strategy regarding the exposure towards municipalities in conservatorship hasn't changed. Therefore, we are still convinced that it makes a financial sense to keep the exposures until the end of the conservatorship proceeding. And to wait for the municipality to regain its in bonis status and therefore to collect both the capital and LPI as part of a normal collection activity. However, this position was particularly large and it doesn't really represent a concern in terms of recovery because of its size, but in line with what we are already doing with the LPI. Remember that with the LPI, from time to time we perform sale of LPI simply because we are happy to smooth the collection of LPI through time and when there are the conditions, which means when we receive interesting offers from external investors on the LPI amounts, we perform sale of LPI in order to anticipate the collection. Action. On the same line, we've decided to take this opportunity in the conservatorship space, considering the fact that we believe the proposition or the transaction that will be put forward by the Commission entity will be interesting for us as it will allow us to, you know, anticipate the collection both in terms of capital as well as LPI, and also it will allow us to make a windfall gain on the LPIs considering the fact that at the moment they are completely off balance sheet because you know exposures under towards municipalities in conservatorship status are not eligible to be recognized within the accrual perimeter due to our accounting policy. So really for us this was an opportunity in line with the with what we are already doing and have already done in the past regarding our LPI portfolio. Okay. Carlo, do you want to take the questions on CQ margin or shall I take it? Mm-hmm. Okay, on CQ, yes, the margins were low, as you highlighted, with respect to last year, and the main reason is due to the fact that in this quarter we suffered in significant turns from the effect of early prepayments. As you know, in these contracts, debtors have the right to prepay the loan when the life of the loan gets to two-fifths of the contractual life. So, at the beginning, at the end, starting from mid June or second half last year, we started to see this trend to increase, and we believe we are at the peak of the phenomenon. Probably the phenomenon will start to decrease towards the end of 2021 in order to settle from 2022 onwards. We are making provisions for this effect that will be able to release when we deem it convenient. So this was really the main reason behind the decrease in CQ margins. Considering the comparison vis-à-vis what we have outlined in the business plan, we will be able to get there as soon as the origination, the direct origination activity will get to the pace we have in mind in order for its higher margin to be able to compensate the lower margins that we see in the indirect business. The last question, Christian, was regarding operating costs. If you remember when we discussed the business plan, we had indicated that we had outlined a business plan based on considerable investments, significant investments over the life of the plan to be able to support the growth of the three business lines. We also indicated the fact that the return on the investments will mainly come in the second part of the plan horizon, so the cost income is expected to slightly increase at the beginning of the three-year plan. This is the reason why we expect a significant increase in total operating costs in 2021. So this is absolutely in line with what we had envisaged within the business plan. In terms of contribution of the pawnbroking business line to the increase in operating costs, this is totally expected due to the fact that, it makes the comparison of Q1 2021 with Q1 2020 a bit more difficult because of the difference in the perimeter. When we get to comment future quarters, we'll see that really the comparison also in terms of contribution of the pawnbroking business line to the consolidated financials will be easier because the perimeter at that point will be constant.
Okay, if I analyze the first quarter number, I would get around 60 million euro total cost for 2021. More than that, sorry, it's 64 million euro. So what do you think this is, should be the run rate, or maybe in the coming quarters we should see lower administrative costs?
No, as I said, we are planning to invest for the growth of the business, so I can't confirm your figures, but the rationale of seeing higher costs is absolutely in line with the strategy that we have outlined. So we are not expecting to see a reduction of cost in the coming quarters, just to answer your question.
Okay, just to follow up on the first question, if I may, two different side of the settlement. In terms of capital, the transaction had any impact? And maybe I missed the answer on when are you planning to get the LPI, the one-off LPI, already in 2021?
Yes, okay. So first of all, the transaction hasn't been closed yet, but because we are planning to close it and to finalize it, we've decided to take provisions as early as this quarter, although the transaction might be come to a conclusion in the future quarters, potentially within 2021. the collection on capital and LPI will occur at the same time, with the difference that LPIs are currently off balance sheet and therefore they'll represent a windfall gain, which will compensate, although with a different phasing, the provisions that we have hit the P&L also in Q1.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luigi Tramontana with Banca Akros. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is a little bit outside the results. A recent court ruling is creating some problems to the government to inject some 2.5 billion euros into local municipalities having some problems of liquidity, among them some big cities like Turin and Naples. Do you expect this ruling to impact your asset quality and your cost of risk this year? Many thanks.
Thank you for the question. And just to clarify, you are referring to a decision of the Corte Costituzionale of last week.
Yes.
The decision, we are not able to understand on our specific exposure the impact, but what we know for sure is that the government has no interest to see big CD with a problem in the future for the next month. So the government now, after this decision of the courts, has obviously the role to make a law and to adapt this as a consequence on the public finance of the each single, let's say, municipality. Typical are the one that had problem with a delay, but with a, let's say, very long history of bad delay. So we have no evidence by now on potential risk of increase of number of conservatorship following this decision of the court.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question is a follow-up from Manuela Meroni with Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead, Manu.
Hi, thank you for taking my follow-up. The presentation and regarding Catania, you mentioned that you accept the transaction on some invoices within the conservatorship scope. So I'm wondering if this transaction refers to the entire position that you have towards Catania or a single portion, and if we can have some similar impact in the future on this kind of position. And the second question, sorry, I didn't get your answer concerning the securities portfolio classified as amortized cost. So you reduced the portfolio, and I was asking you if this reduction is just an opportunistic move or is a new strategy.
Okay, regarding the second question, probably you couldn't hear Carlo answering the question, so I'll ask him to repeat his answer again in a second. Regarding the first question, Manuela, yes, you're right. You understand it was correct. We have decided to accept the negotiation only on a portion of the overall position, and the amount of the portion is the result of our analysis, and is what we deemed right for us to accept. For this reason, we consider this transaction for the time being to be a one-off decision.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Are you referring to SME's portfolio or to the Govies portfolio classified under amortized cost?
To the Govies portfolio.
To the Govies portfolio, we anticipated sales of Govies that we expected to do in the first half of 2021, in the first quarter, and the strategy is to have a size that is very similar to the one we have now. for the rest of the year.
Ms. Bennati, Mr. Di Pierro, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much to everybody, and talk to you again for the next quarter update. Thank you. Bye-bye.